Welcome to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, just show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I have a really interesting guest to be sharing today. Deidre Gurn is the owner of Spalding Decon Plano and the mother of two boys, ages 12 and 8.
Yes,
sir. Originally wanting to be working for Sesame Street, Deidre obtained a BA in radio, television, and film at the University of North Texas. When graduation rolled around, though, she had a hard time leaving her family. So instead, for the next 7 years, Deidre moved her way up the world of advertising as an associate producer and a broadcast traffic director, teaching leadership skills and managing people, attributes she still uses today. Craving to be more of a role model in her community, she put herself through night school and earned certification as a high school English teacher at the University of Texas at Dallas. For the next 15 years, she made a difference with students struggling to graduate and or pass Texas's rigorous state test. With education taking a more scripted curriculum approach, she found the best use of her gift, leading people and making a difference in the community, and opened Spalding Decon Plano. It's a franchise that restores people's homes during some of the worst times in their lives by cleaning up unattended deaths, suicide, crime scenes, hoarding, meth labs, rodent cleanup, biohazards, and actually providing viral disinfection. I just find this so incredibly fascinating, and I'm really excited to be bringing you to the show. So, Deidre, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. I am super excited to be sharing my journey as well, because it is quite a nutty one.
Well, really, how and why does a teacher become a crime scene cleaner?
Well, it's three words, midlife crisis. And maybe if it's because the first are hyphenated, it's two words, midlife crisis. There's a story. There is a short story there because I didn't even know that that was a thing. Did you know that was a thing? Did you know that was a thing that you could clean up that kind of stuff? I mean, I guess I didn't really think about it ever. Does anyone think about if something tragic happens in your home? I guess I thought the cops did it or the family does it, or I guess I never really thought about it. But I was kind of struggling with if I wanted to be a teacher anymore. At one point in my career, I was doing a bunch of long-term sub-teaching jobs, trying to figure out if maybe being a teacher was right for me anymore. And my husband was looking at buying a franchise. And apparently you can get a franchise coach or mentor to bring you opportunities that match how involved you want to be in a franchise or how much money you want to spend. And one of the opportunities they brought him was Spalding Decon. And he was like, ew, gross, I don't want to do this. But look, honey, did you know this was a thing, that this was a business that you could be involved in? And I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. So I researched it for 3 months and found out that, you know, if I wanted to feel young and interesting again, I could be a crime scene cleaner. And gosh darn it, I do. I feel young and interesting again doing this work. It is so satisfying because I'm helping people in a different way. And I love the work. Oh, my God, I love the work. I'm saying that it's fun. It's not fun. It's hard, grueling, hard labor, but it's fun. It's kind of fun. That's how a teacher becomes a crime scene cleaner. She has a midlife crisis, and this opportunity kind of accidentally falls into her lap. And then her and her husband spend the kids' college fund buying a franchise. That's how.
How do you handle something like that? I mean, how do you flip that switch to be cleaning up so many of the things that you're dealing with?
Well, I think that was part of my research. There are YouTube videos of that kind of work being done that are rather graphic. That did not bother me. I knew I wasn't squeamish when it came to seeing that kind of stuff. And these videos are not staged. They're real. I don't know why this stuff is on YouTube, but it's there. So I knew that stuff wasn't going to bother me. Then you get to go to a discovery day at their corporate office, and you get to, you know, view some of these scenes and or smell some of, you know, the items that get taken away from the jobs before they are taken away by a biohazard company for incineration. And none of it bothered me. You know, so I got to vet all of this before getting into it. You know, I mean, I think most people know going in if they're like, ew, I can't do this, or if they're not going to be bothered by it or not. Because I love helping people so much that I knew I like being the rescuer. I like being the person who steps in and makes the big difference and saves the day. And gosh darn it, you are saving the day when you are remediating one of the most horrible things to ever happen in your life. And death is certainly one of them, or death of a loved one is certainly one of them. So I like that I can be a part of a situation where we are taking care of a situation like that, where not only, of course, we're taking care of the hard part of it, you know, where we're taking care of the wall or the floor or the bed or, you know, the yucky part, but not just that, but I bring in the compassionate part too, where we can do the hugging or the crying or the explaining of the insurance process and do it with the kind voice or the pat of the shoulder. And you know, I think that's kind of why maybe we get the job sometimes over the other companies, is because the female owner does the explaining. You know, here lately, I've been taking a lot of jobs away from other companies, and I think it's because of me. I think it's because of me, seriously. Compassion makes...
Well, why wouldn't it be because of you? You know, you are compassionate,
exactly.
And you're articulate, and that background of being a teacher gives you such a leg up on how to explain the unexplainable to someone. I have to ask you a strange question. Does death have a smell? Like, what does death smell like?
It does, and I'll tell you, I was super curious. Super curious, because I knew it had to, and that was the first thing I was going to answer for myself going to training. When I bought into the franchise, that was the first thing I was going to do. Because when you do this work, you have PPE or personal protective stuff that you wear for this work, because you have to protect yourself, because you don't know, you know, what this person passed away from. I mean, you usually do, but you don't know what they had been sick with. So, and a respirator is part of that personal protective equipment, which you cannot smell anything if you have it on the proper way. Well, first thing I did was take a big old whiff when, you know, I could, because I had to know for myself what it smells like. If you've ever had some ground meat and you had it in the freezer, if you let it thaw in the refrigerator and then maybe you forgot about it and you, you know, shoved it in the back of the refrigerator and then you let it stay in there for like a month or so, and then you, oh, no, I remembered the ground meat in the refrigerator, and then you open the Ziploc bag and took a smell of that ground meat that is now quite rotten and expired. It smells like that. It smells like rotten, expired meat that is, you know, super way past its expiration date. Because, I mean, that's what we are. I know that's like a horrible way to explain it, but it is the worst smell ever. And what I think is interesting about people is no one seems to ever smell the same. Each of us smells a little different, and I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a science behind it, but diabetic people seem to smell the worst. I don't know why that is. When there's been an unattended death situation and we take care of that, remediate that situation, I need to have our biohazard company come and pick up those boxes as soon as possible, because that biohazard smells the worst. And then when I find out from the family that they were diabetic, I'm like, yep, I can tell. I don't know why that is. I there's got to be a science behind it.
I would think there is. There's got to be. One would think maybe it has to do with the insulin and the lack of it and not producing the right sugars in your body or something. You know, that would be my stab at it. All right, I got to ask you, what's the grossest thing you ever saw? My brothers would be like, how could you have somebody like this on your show and not ask them that?
I know. The grossest thing, the summertime unattended deaths are the worst. Probably the grossest thing we've ever seen was a fella who passed away unattended. It was a week before anybody knew or bothered to check or figured out that he was missing. He did not have air conditioning in his apartment, and so passed away from a heroin overdose. He passed away on his bed, and his bed was on a floor. He didn't have a frame, and there was no box spring. It was just a mattress on the floor. So he had decomposed and melted completely into the mattress. So the mattress was saturated corner to corner, continued to just decompose all the way through three layers of the floor underneath the mattress. So the grossest thing was us having to cut that mattress up into quarters so we could get it in the biohazard boxes. And just, you know, I don't want to go into great detail of it, but it just, you know, maggots bother me. I'm never going to get used to those guys. Because when we do this work, we disassociate and just, it's not what we know it is. We pretend like it's something else. And when the little creepy crawlies are moving around, it just breaks our disassociation. And there was just a lot of them in this apartment. And, that was a hard job. That was.
You know what? That's just like something you would see on Bones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I could totally see Hodgins going, oh, and these little babies, you know? Oh. And the reality is truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes, mattress. That mattress was the grossest thing we ever saw because, you know, usually when someone passes away, it's just like a little body shape on a mattress. And we just cut like the little icky part out of the mattress. But this mattress was saturated corner to corner to corner to corner. And,
wow. On that note, we're actually going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Say thank you to our sponsors. Okay, everybody wave the fan. You're okay. Don't worry. And I find it fascinating. I really, truly do. So we'll be right back here on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, StadiumBags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are speaking with Deidre Gern, who is the owner of Spalding Decon, and then I'm going to say Flash, Plano, and absolutely fascinating work that you are doing. How do you balance owning this business with raising your two boys?
You know, I'm not sure that I always do. I'll tell you, the first year, I probably felt like I did a better job because you know, it was the first year. It was the first year, and maybe I wasn't as busy as I would have liked to have been, and so I maybe felt like I was a better mommy. But the second year, business has been better. Business has been better, and so I haven't been around as much, and so I'm having some mom guilt about not being around, and so that balance. All right, I think I have a good example about that. I'm having better balance. I'm having to make choices about my mom time. I finally have gotten to a point where I could hire a project manager, and he's been with me for 2 months now. And instead of being that control freak where I want to run everything or I want to be on every estimate, I have had to let myself, make myself, trust him and let him go on estimates without me so that I will take my 8-year-old swimming and have that mom time so that I will not have that mom guilt and have that balance. So I think, you know, how do I have that balance is by making myself do it, choosing to have the balance. Otherwise, I would probably just let the business eat me up. I want to be successful. I want to be a really great business owner because I'm a girl, and I'm a girl in an industry that typically is not run by women. And so I really want to overdo it. But, you know, I'm kind of sacrificing, you know, my mom time because of that. And I think that's going to wind up being a mistake in the long run if I let that eat me up. So I'm trying to be really cognizant of the fact that at the end of the day, they're going to grow up and maybe resent that a little bit, that, you know, maybe I will have a thriving business someday, but, you know, I'm not around very much, and that's not okay. I went through a lot of trouble to have these babies. So, you know, because I'm kind of an older mom, and, you know, I waited to have my pumpkins, and, you know, they're in vitro babies. So, you know, come on. Let's spend time with them, yeah?
Well, you know, the flip side of that is you are a role model for them. You are showing them that just because you're a mom doesn't mean that you can't own a business and still raise your family. Good for you for hiring your project manager. Congratulations that your business is growing so much that you can. And, you know, that's why you delegate, because if that frees you up to do what you have to do and spend time with your kids, believe me, they're thinking their mom's pretty badass with what you're doing.
Sometimes they say that. It's just one day at a time, one day at a time. And so I just try to, you know, remind myself and think to myself, you know, how did I do today? How did I do today? And just be grateful for all the little good stuff that happens. And at the very least, did I hug them? Did I kiss them? Did I tell them I loved them? Did I ask them about their day? Did we talk about school? You know, that's got to happen at the very least, you know?
And good for you that you have those checks and balances that you're making sure about that, because parents who aren't worried if they're doing a good job aren't doing a good job.
Yeah, I think
we worry, you know, and really when you have that cognizant thought pattern and making sure you're carving out time as you're growing your business, you're doing a great job. You really are. I have to ask you, did you have to go into some kind of training for this? What kind of background and education do you need for this work?
Well, they say you don't. I mean, corporate kind of like, anybody can do this. And I'm like, well, I mean, kind of yes, kind of no. You don't have to go to school for this kind of work, although maybe a little bit of business education could be helpful. I don't really have any business background, and business background maybe could have helped me be a little less dumb getting started in all this. My background is in education. So that helped me, I think, be empathetic and compassionate and be good with people. I'm good with people, and I'm good at sales. So education-wise, you just have a high school education to do this work. But to own a franchise, I think it's helpful that I have a bachelor's degree, just because there's so much to know and do and to understand about how the marketing works and how how your software works and how your margins work. There's so much to understand. You're going to get trained. Corporate trains you how to do everything, but to put it all together, I think it's helpful to have a little bit of college education to put all this together. You know, I can't speak for all the other franchisees if they have that kind of background, but it it made it easier for me to put all the puzzle pieces together. I mean, because I do have a bachelor's degree just because I came from being a teacher. I did not have any kind of background in construction. And again, I wish I had that too, because in this kind of work, it's not about walking into something with, you know, Clorox and paper towels. That doesn't cut it. You're going to be taking apart floors, sometimes walls, and there's only so much these people can teach you or show you without you having to figure out some of this stuff yourself. And it just kind of would have been nice if maybe I had that knowledge walking in too. But you know what? There's all kinds of classes that you can take that you can go and find for yourself to educate yourself. So thank God for that.
Who are your customers and how do you reach them? I mean, how do you advertise a business like this and grow a business like this? I'm really curious.
That's the challenging part of this kind of service, because these people, this service isn't needed until it's needed. And so
right.
Have you ever been watching TV and seen a commercial for a cleanup of a tragedy in your home? No. Because, I mean, if you saw a commercial for, you know, did you go on vacation and someone passed away in your home? you know, I'm going to remember that for if that happens to me 10 years from now. So that's why none of these companies advertise on TV or radio, because you don't need that service right now, so you're not going to remember us. So we advertise on the internet, because when tragedy happens and you need something right now, right now, right now, where do you typically go to look for that? Probably the internet, hopefully. I mean, that's what we're banking on. So companies like us are hoping that you Google us. So the internet, we also tend to do like small town, grassroots, down home type marketing, just, you know, door to door, spreading the word, kind of referral type, or that's what I do anyway. I'm hoping my Google reviews catch people's attention when they're comparing me to other companies. I have an Instagram, and I'm hoping that people that are interested in this type of work follow that and maybe also do word of mouth. So because it's not an always needed type of, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but it's a difficult service to market. It's difficult to market, and so you have to get creative, and we do. And therefore, it gets challenging. And so we're always open to ideas.
I bet it's got to be really challenging. I mean, maybe cleaning up, like, the hoarder side of things, you know, how do you work with people like that?
Well, sometimes we go to conferences and meet people that way. Believe it or not, people do look for our services for hoarding on the internet as well. Now, our services for hoarding are also word of mouth. And it's not like the TV show, though, your audience members or maybe even you, that if you watch the show, our services are not like the show. The show is, you know, that's manufactured. They bring in a whole crew and a therapist. And we're not like that. That show, the hoarder is present, and they're there, you know, screaming and crying, no, 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 don't take my stuff. The hoarder themselves rarely calls us and says, you know, come to my house and help me. Because the hoarder's never ready. They don't want their stuff taken away. Usually by the time someone calls us, the hoarder has passed away, or the hoarder is out of the home because they're sick and has gone to the hospital, and the family is calling us to go, oh, my goodness, we had no idea this was going on. We can't do this by ourselves. Please come help. And so it's kind of unusual if we meet the hoarder. We usually come in and help comfort the family and say, well, how can we help you? Do you want this to go to a donation? Do you want this to go to trash? Do you want us to keep any of this? And we help sort and then actually just bring in the physical labor and the extra hands. Or the dumpster connection, and then come in and just take care of the stuff.
Never thought about it. I've actually never seen the show, Hoarders, mm-hmm. but I know people who are hoarders. And I've always thought about that. It's like, what is going to happen when they die? Who's mm-hmm. going to come in and deal with all of this? So it's amazing that it's part of what you do. As we're wrapping this up, I can't believe how fast the time goes. Please let everyone know how they can reach out to you.
Certainly. Probably the easiest way is to call our the 1-800 number to go to the corporate office, and that is 866-99-DECON, D as in dog, E-C, as in cat, O-N as in Nancy, 86699-DECON, and they'll connect you to the Plano location. A little jingle that my previous project manager came up with was, if it makes you sick, call us quick. If you don't want to clean it up, we will. I know, isn't that funny?
That's awesome. This really is. You know, Deirdre, it's amazing to me the different paths that women are taking and how we are breaking into these man-centric fields. And I just found this really fascinating. So I'm glad that you reached out to us. I thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your journey. I really do. And
the teacher in me will never die. And I love talking. So this was a great matchup for me.
Well, I'm glad, and thank you for being here. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. It's an amazing thing, so many opportunities that are out there. I love watching the journey. I really do. It's so my pleasure to be able to share things like this. So on behalf of all of us here at the Word of Mom Media Network, thank you for being here with us. We're going to close out our show with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is strong. She